This is the Storage Review Podcast, and I'm Brian Beeler. On today's podcast, we talk with Paula Long from Data Gravity. Data Gravity, for those that don't know the company yet, has a really interesting take on primary storage and analytics into the contents of the storage. I'll let Paula walk you through it in more detail, but it's certainly worth checking out for those with large amounts of unstructured data who want better visibility. And if you're in a regulated industry, then this will be really interesting to you. So today on the podcast, we've got Paula Long with Data Gravity. Paula, for those that don't know about Data Gravity yet, what are you guys up to?
So Data Gravity is the convergence of data storage with data security and data information. So right now, you've got people with, you know, hundreds of terabytes to petabytes of storage, and they don't know what's in it, and they don't know how to take advantage of the upside that makes their business more profitable and more efficient, and they don't know how to protect themselves against the downside that puts their business at risk because of the data they have. And so Data Gravity helps you manage that while at the point of storage without needing a lot of other layered products.
So it's a lot about intelligence. We were out there a couple weeks ago and spent some time with your team, and of course, we've got a review on the site. For those who haven't seen it yet, check out Data Gravity. Just type it into the search bar, all one word. The analytics is really what struck us, right, and is a key part of your value proposition. Dive more into that and let our listeners know what that means from your perspective.
Yep. So right now, if you were to go to a standard storage array, you'd see a disk, and you wouldn't know a lot about what was going on in the disk. You'd have some idea about performance, and you'd have some idea about capacity, both very important. But what you don't know is is there a virus in that disk or in that content? You don't know if there's unprotected company IP, whether it's personalization information of an employee or a customer, or if it's IP that's exposed. You don't know if you're one click away from having ransomware happen to you. And you don't know, you know, if you just have a lot of data that no one's reading or writing or has ever read and write. So you have a bunch of dormant data that you're storing and backing up. So Data Gravity's mission is to help you understand your data at a deep level and also to be able to leverage that data. It's also there to help you, you know, if you think about it from a storage perspective, one of the mandates for any storage administrator or any IT administrator is thou shall not lose data, right? They have it, they wake up in the middle of the night screaming in fear of maybe losing data, thou shall not lose data. The problem is, you know, when people traditionally think about that, they think about it as the smoking hole, you know, double or triple or how many faulted RAIDs set or alarm went offline, but it's more complicated than that in today's threat environment. You can lose data by ransomware. You can lose data by viruses. You can lose data because someone broke into your system and stole it. You can lose data because you just can't find out where you put it and you can't find it again. So Data Gravity also helps you with the new generation of don't lose data and helps you solve problems about the new kinds of data loss you could have. Make sense?
Yeah, well, it does to me. I've seen it live, so it works for me. Let's dive into some of those use cases. So you talk about ransomware. I'm sure your employees don't do this because they're all very productive and working hard all the time. But say someone's taking their lunch break, they're looking at some website full of cat pictures and click on one and all of a sudden they've got this message that pops up and says, you know, your machine's compromised, you'll never get it back again. How does Data Gravity help me in that situation?
Well, first I want to tell you I can't believe I'm going to say this. But it's not that hard to get ransomware. So our voice system sends us email with WAV files, right, that we have voicemail messages. So we go voicemail to email. So about a year and a half ago, I got email from our voicemail system, from the system. Same. The sender was the same. My IP address was the same. The subject line was the same. There was a WAV file. I clicked on it, right? It was ransomware. I actually clicked on it and I got ransomware. This was pre our product being deployed. We were just deploying our product. We would have helped us. This is one of the things I was passionate about. And so I had the marketing drive and the finance drive and a bunch of other drives. And I didn't even know it because when I clicked on it, it did something, but it also played. It also played a voice message. It was very, very clever. So I didn't know about it. I came out of a meeting a couple hours later and we had encrypted like a lot of the data. What Data Gravity would have done with our behavioral-based backups is it would have seen the spike in my write behavior and it would have taken a backup immediately because it saw an anomaly. And we call that behavioral-based backup. So our backups, or we call them discovery points, are just very smart snapshots. So we would have taken a very smart snapshot, and when you went and did the forensics, you would have seen I was patient zero, so I caused it, because we can see who's reading and writing the data, and we can see who has the spikes. And we could have just rolled back all of my changes from the window. So we wouldn't have had to lose any of the data. We wouldn't have had to go back to tape or disk and do a restore. We wouldn't have had to pay for the ransomware. We would have just, the system would have automatically seen, I think I'm under siege. I'm gonna take some proactive action to protect the crime scene. I know who the culprit is. By the way, I'm still getting razzed about that, and now I'm saying it on a tape, so everybody else is going to know I'm an idiot. Now I look at headers before I click on anything, by the way, because I can read an email header. I didn't used to. Now I read an email header because it came from a legitimate source, or at least it looked like it had. At any rate, so you can be back, in tens of minutes, not days or many, many hours of pain. Because of our behavioral-based backup, we can tell what's going on, our behavioral-based discovery point, and because we have content awareness and people awareness, we can know what caused it and we can get you back really quick.
Well, at least in your case, it's a relative skill, right? There would be more shame if you had clicked on the classic Nigerian cash swindle link than what appeared to be a legitimate voicemail.
Yeah, so when I opened the header and I looked at how the mail message had been routed to me, it was obvious. It was I don't understand why we're running virus detection and we're running malware detection on our systems, and it got by it, right?
Well, it happens.
So yeah. So
one of the things that's interesting here, and maybe an architecture point that we should dive into to make it more clear, is that a lot of what you're talking about is smart software and intelligence, but there's the hardware platform too. What does it do for you to be tying the software and hardware together in terms of having visibility into the data rather than just being an application that's installed on a VM somewhere and looking at somebody else's storage?
So we have the advantage of people, content, and time within our storage array. And we've actually gone ahead and plumbed a lot of the data paths in the storage array to collect the intelligence information we need to be able to gain these insights. And so from our perspective, having things at the point of storage or having things that are doing this that are very aware of storage allows you to get a deeper level of understanding on what's going on with the data. And because the way we're architected, we're actually able to, we're indexing the content. We know about the content at a very deep level. We're also capturing all the user activity, and we're keeping track of things over time. And because we can do that in the storage array, we can take advantage of things like the second controller, which in a lot of storage arrays are passive, to do a lot of the analytics and heavy compute. We can split sort of how the data is laid out in storage so that things we're doing on the analytics aren't eating the spindles of the primary storage, but in fact are doing them on what we call the snapshot pool or the discovery point pool. So we've basically decoupled snapshots from primary spindles, and that has two positive effects. So if you lose your primary or your volume, you don't lose your snapshots because they're on a separate set of protected spindles, but it also allows us to do some of the analytics so we don't affect the primary performance. So we're integrated into the storage array for really visibility into the data, which we can get other ways as well, but also in terms of getting the economics. Does that make sense?
It does. One of the things that we looked at pretty extensively, and you mentioned it early on, about information that's exposed that shouldn't be. And it's been a couple weeks. I don't think we've had a major credit card loss. Oh, no, it hasn't. Actually, there was a Wendy's one in the Midwest earlier mm-hmm. this week. But this perpetual problem of data being either stolen or in some cases, put into a public share that it shouldn't be. I know when we were there, we spent a lot of time around social security numbers, credit card numbers, and of course, you've got the ability for your customers to enter in their own tags for what their data might look like that they don't want out there. How are you doing that? How are you looking into some of these files and figuring out if a 9-digit number is being exposed when it shouldn't be?
So we're using we have full text indexing of all the unstructured content within the storage array, and we're also indexing metadata for all the content, and we're doing SHA-1s for all the content, which means we're fingerprinting all the content. And so what we have is we have regular expression matching across the data. There's a set of rules and a pattern that a social security number has. The pattern is not good enough, and the rules are not good enough. But the combination of that is you're looking through the text using regular expression parsing. You can identify things that, you know, on a 90 percentile basis are probably what you were looking for. And then you can have rules that further reduce the false positives. So we're actually doing content inspection. And we're actually doing pattern matching within the data as part of the storage array without affecting primary storage.
What types of things beyond the obvious, like credit card numbers and socials, what other types of things are you seeing customers search for, be on the lookout for, that maybe you expected, maybe not? Is there anything that surprised you about what your customers are finding?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are, you know, there's the obvious ones if you're in healthcare, that you find patient IDs where they're not supposed to be, or you find diagnosis IDs where you're not supposed to be. There's also places where, you know, you're finding, you know, we looked at, you know, somebody put their web content on us and they found confidential information out on their website. So they had price lists out on their website. You'd be surprised how many people have the Sony problem where they have password files with the word password in it. And usernames, colon. You would think that, you know, that wouldn't be true, but you'd be surprised at how many people find that. We found photos that should have been confidential in the wrong places. We found emails that probably shouldn't have been where they were. We found, you know, somebody taking data to Dropbox and taking company information that they were leaving and data dumping. So, you know, our customers don't like us to talk too much about what we found. And a lot of them, you know, a lot of them just found that, yes, we have exposure, but this is where we thought we had scope, and we had it bounded. And the places where we didn't think we had scope, we didn't. So some of this is just making sure that your governance rules are in place, and some of this is to get your governance rules cleaned up. And then, you know, we had one company where, you know, we joke around that the best dedupe is delete. And we had one company where a father and son team were creating a Lego stop action movie. And they had about a terabyte of video sitting on the... Now, they didn't really not realize it was that big. So we had a lot of squatting. I call it data trespassing.
Lego movies trespassing on company arrays. That's lovely.
Hey, you know what? When I scanned my own shares, I found my son's... I can't believe I admit this because I take content with me. I found my son's camp forms with his medical information or social security number. I don't have them anymore, but it happens to everybody. And I found, because all my data is on Data Gravity now, I find that, you know, sometimes I cut and paste and I don't do what I meant to do. So I can't sit here and tell you that humans don't make mistakes because, right, I'm sure everybody's smarter and better than I am, but I know I make mistakes. So there's probably some other people out there that do as well.
That's probably a safe assumption. When you talk about policies and organizations' policies, regardless if it's Data Gravity or not, regulated industries, they've got a lot of definition around what those rules are. I mean, that's a legal obligation in many cases. Mm-hmm. For the rest of the world, for SMBs or even enterprises that may not have a dedicated person thinking about these things, how should companies be thinking about their digital assets, and do you have any thoughts or guidelines on early steps to take to start to put some structure around an organization's policies on usage and other related aspects?
Yeah, so I have to admit, as soon as somebody talks about a task force to build a committee to set up a process, I have my roller skates on and I'm on my way out, right? So I don't think that's how you start. I think what you want to start with, so what do we have? Let's visualize what we have so we understand what we have and what's the exposure. And then let's just make some common sense guidelines to say, you know, these are the shares that we're going to take extra care of with, and this is where confidential information, and this is what we're going to define confidential information to be, and these are the things where we don't, we're going to leave it more wide open, and we're going to scan those to make sure it's valid. And then you even want to think about sort of data types. So, you know, why would there be executables in the finance area, right? Or why would there be, because they really don't need them, right? They're, that's where their data is. Their application should live somewhere else. Or why is engineering on particular shares? So you really just want to go get a view of what's happening with your data. And then, you know what? When you see that picture, it's like when you're walking in a room and you see the hole in the wall. You don't really know what's wrong with the room until you walk into it, and then you see a bunch of big holes in the wall. And then you probably should fix those first. So I think visualization of your data is the first step to get a handle on how you're gonna manage it. And we always say, you know, you want to visualize your data, you want to define what you care about, you want to detect when the anomaly has happened, and you want to discover what happened, and you also want to defend and defeat it. So it really is a circular loop, but it starts with understanding what you have.
Let's dive into that visualization a little bit more right after this sponsor message. Handle every enterprise data need with the world's first VNAND technology. Samsung's proprietary cutting-edge 32-layer VNAND technology can provide high endurance and exceptional around-the-clock performance for intensive applications. Learn more about VNAND technology at samsung.com/B2B SSD. All right, we're back with Paula Long again. We talked right before the commercial there about visualization. You called it holes in the wall, but you guys have some pretty fancy stuff in the UI. One of my favorite is the, I don't know what you call it, but the rainbow circle grid that shows all the collaborators, and it shows a lot of great visualizations between who's working on what documents. Tell us a little bit about how you guys use those tools and some of the more creative mapping images that you have to draw some of those points of interest between things.
Yep, so we keep track, I hate the word platform, but we have a platform. We keep track of people, content, and time, and storage metadata over time. So for example, if you wanted to understand on a topic who in your company is interacting on that topic. For example, you were looking for an expert in data security, so you'd find out who's reading and writing on data security, who's collaborating with who. We create visuals that make it very easy to understand. So we have a core diagram, which is what you were talking about, which basically, as you click on it, you can sort of see who's communicating with who, and the thicker bands say there's more communication. So you can see who's communicating with who on what topic. And so why is that important? That's important if you're trying to build a project team, so you want to find out who's actually experts in a particular topic and who's worked with who on a particular topic. It's also important when you start to think about from a data management perspective and you decide you want to move some data around. You want to see who's using what, so you keep the people who are reading the same stuff together. Then the other thing you want to look at from a security perspective is, why is someone from engineering, you know, so involved in this financial matter we're in? So why are they interacting with that content? And so you can start to watch the patterns of how people are interacting with your data. That tends to be folks who are doing, you know, project management to build teams, and tends to be the security folks for finding out who's looking at what. And it can even be the storage admin to figure out where the best place is when I want to consolidate things and group things, who are looking at common things, so I'll put them together on the same shares.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. You just talked about three distinct user types for the system. And when we think about storage, traditional storage, we've got a storage admin, maybe a virtualization guy that gets involved. But security is not typically a role or job function that we think about with not necessarily administering the storage, but having visibility into it. The stuff that you're talking about, especially on the watching out for more bad things side, is somewhat unique in terms of the messaging that we receive from storage vendors. Is that really hitting on an important note with your customers?
Yeah, it is, and I smile because I've had a conversation with a few storage administrators that said, I'm not responsible for storage. And I say, okay, so you just got ransomware. Who's responsible for bringing back the data and making everybody whole? And he said, I am. I said, you know, someone's leaving and HR wants to know if they're taking valuable content with them. Who do they call? He said, I guess me. I said, it looks like confidential information has left the building because we've got some information that should be IP protected that's out in the public domain. Who do they call to ask how it got? He said, well, I guess it's me. And then I kept asking those questions, and I said, congratulations, you can now put security on your resume. Because they do those functions. They're very hard. They try to run away from them. It can take them weeks. And our product lets them do it in, you know, seconds to minutes. But the storage person is already involved in the security aspect of things, but it's after the fact. And now they just have to be proactive so that they can answer things before it's too painful to answer them when they're asked. So you need to be on the offensive, not just on the defensive. If you're going to get any of your weekends back.
You probably made that poor guy cry as you bludgeoned him with questions.
No, I think he smiled because he said, I said, you know what? You're way more valuable than you're giving yourself credit for, right? Because at the end of the day, you're the one who's responsible. You're the one they go to, right? So
I talked about your very pretty round chart or your diagram, and I think
core diagram. Yep.
Yes, I think that's great, but the whole environment for managing the system is quite a bit different. And a lot of storage companies will talk about usability. You've been there before, and I'm sure you've given the usability pitch at your prior organizations. But this is a little bit different in terms of a departure from pure administration and a little bit more of, you said it's an operating environment before, but it really feels a little bit more application centric. And when you start to use it and feel it, talk to us about that a little bit and why usability was such a big deal for you guys.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back in history a little bit, but I promise to get to the point. So I worked prior to Data Gravity at a company called Equalogic. And one of the things Equalogic, was another storage company, did really well was storage automation. We were the first ones really to do storage automation in a way that was very accessible. And in the UI, what we did was tree on the left, only the actions you could do when you were in the tree, when you were at a certain point in the tree, in the middle, and then sort of the panel on the right. And that was pretty revolutionary because A, you could never see an activity you couldn't do in some place in the tree. And B, you didn't have to know anything about storage to administer storage. So it was very set up for a common IT user. Now, you know, that doesn't sound very innovative because you go look at everybody else's storage arrays and they kind of all have been doing that. Now, and that was very important when you were just managing containers because you could see the container, which was a disk or a snapshot. You could see the actions you could do on that, and then you could drill into more information. Now the storage administrator needs to do, or the data, it's really a data administrator. Now the person who's managing the data needs to know a lot more about the data. And so that tree construct doesn't really work. And, you know, these really complicated graphs that have all these lines that are really pretty and look cool don't tell you anything. What you want is you want infographics, and you want pictorial views of the data that you can quickly look at and say, okay, here's my exposure. I'm going to drill in, find out what to do about it very quickly. And so you don't want gratuitous graphics because they're kind of useless, but you want something that helps you understand at a glance and then be able to drill into the specifics and take the action that you need to do right away. So when we did this, we said, well, storage is really not, traditional storage management isn't really set up to answer these kinds of more complex questions. And frankly, nobody wants to dig through lots of data and tables. They just want someone to net it out for them and then help them drill into how to take the action. And so that's how we approached it. We approached it in how do you surface the information quickly and how do you let people drill into making the, you know, defend and defeat or to optimize. Make sense?
It does. It's funny because we're talking about how different users interact with things differently. And when we were out there, Kevin and Adam and I all sat down at the systems and all three of us immediately went off in three different directions, which I thought was kind of funny. But the system enables that sort of flexibility in terms of the user, their function, and what they're interested in. And you guys do a good job of helping visualize all of those sorts of things for each of the different user types.
And so we also thought that, you know, familiarity was really important. So in our search, you know, we have a faceted search. So if you go to something like a Kayak, you see the filters on the left and you see the search results on the right. And so we tried to do things that, you know, people in their everyday life are familiar with. And that way, you know, you sort of, when you got into the management of the appliance, you were comfortable and you were learning new things, but with skills you already had.
Right. For people that aren't familiar with Data Gravity or didn't read our review, I can't imagine why they wouldn't, but tell us a little bit about where you really view your strengths, because I know we spent some time on that when we were up there, and where Data Gravity is a really good fit for an organization.
So if you have unstructured data and you don't know what's in it and you can't leverage the upside and you're worried about protecting the downside, we're a perfect fit. If you're off trying to do, you know, high volume OLTP where you need all flash arrays, we're probably not your fit. And then the question is somewhere in the middle, we probably should have a discussion because we do well with structured applications, but our real special sauce is today in the unstructured space. We'll be moving to structured, but we're not there yet. And even in the structured case, we're still doing, you know, you can still see visualizations about what's kind of, who's using things and what's going on. We just don't get into the content yet.
So, I think that's interesting, and I'm sure we talked about it when we were up there, but, you know, if you go to VMworld or any of these large trade shows, half of the floor is storage, and of that half, probably 80 to 90% are saying IOPS or latency or capacity or flash or whatever the other keywords are of the day. And to your point, sometimes that's relevant. There are workloads that can benefit from that, but so few are differentiating really on very much outside of those key things. Sure, there's data services and some other stuff involved, but clearly nothing quite like this. So when you talk to a customer who's used to being hit over the head with throughput numbers or data reduction numbers or whatever it is, and you're coming at them with something that's fundamentally different in the approach, how does that sales process go? And when do you see the light click in their head in terms of understanding the key differentiators that you guys bring to the table?
So, you know, if the easiest way is if we're doing a demo and we show them what we call our file analytics page, which is basically a 360-degree view of your data. And we talk about the importance of knowing what you have to more effectively manage it. Now, in the absence of being able to actually show them their data, we have the discussion about, you know, all, you know, your unstructured data is the majority of the data you have, and it's the fastest growing if you believe all the analysts and most of our customers. And we talk about how are you guys planning to get that in check? And is that a mandate for you guys? And for most folks, it is a mandate because of all the compromises and the data breaches and the companies, you know, running into things like ransomware or getting malware or losing assets. It is a conversation that every company's having, and then we can help them have that conversation. Because frankly, a lot of times the folks between the, if a lot of the small companies don't have a separate security team and a storage team or an IT team, but some of them do. And when they do, you know, the interactions aren't necessarily common goals, right? Because the security people want to look at everything and the storage people don't want to slow anything down, and we can help them both achieve those goals. But, you know, we tend to be selling to folks who have or in regulatory places, so law firms, you know, small hospitals, educational institutions, manufacturing, you know, state and local government, small financials. Healthcare is a big one for us as well, and then the retail as well with PCI. So if you have regulatory or if you have security and data information concerns, we're an amazing fit. Again, if you're going for high OLTP, we can partner with somebody else for that. So we, for example, we have multiple customers who use UCS and, you know, a different kind of storage for some of their high performance stuff, and then we own all the unstructured content. We have customers with Nutanix, we have customers with EMC, so we complement and sit alongside, and then we have customers where we're just their storage. We have all of it. So it really depends on the scope and shape of the customer.
Well, it sounds like you've done pretty well to define who you are and where you're a good fit and not trying to be everything to everyone, which is probably important in this somewhat crowded field of storage and appliances.
Absolutely. You know, if you look at some of the, it's funny, when you look at some of the new, you know, what are people worried about with their storage? It used to be backup was number one. Backup and recovery was number one. It's funny, that's been on the list for about, 25 years? and, you know, data security is right up there with backup and restore. And by the way, we have built in, you know, protected backup and restore capabilities right in the array with instant recovery catalogs for our, you know, we call them discovery points, but think about them as snapshots on their own spindle, so they're protected with a catalog that has file-level recovery and searchability. So we do have that right built into the box, so we help address that as well.
So where do you see you guys going forward and the other key IT trends? Clearly you feel really well positioned for the unstructured data and diving in more on those files that you guys can understand. But where do you see the growth opportunity for Data Gravity?
So then the Data Gravity growth opportunities, you know, we have to continue to expand the surface of the data we can look at. And then we have to integrate with the ecosystem because for both information, for good and for stopping bad, all of the IT infrastructure needs to work together. So you'll see us to start to integrate with, you know, other security appliances, whether it's, you know, an endpoint or a smart firewall or CASB. You'll see us starting to integrate with those so that, you know, we can share the information we have about the data and they can share what they have. Because it's going to take a lot of cooperation between the ecosystem partners to stop these breaches from happening and when they do happen, to make sure that they're benign or they get as little as possible and you know exactly what they got.
So is there anything else that I missed that you want to make sure to highlight? I picked out the things that I thought were interesting and important as we worked on our project with you and spent time with your team, but what did I miss that you want to really make sure people understand about Data Gravity?
I think what I want people to understand is that, you know, Data Gravity is really helping customers get a handle on their data, and it's more than, you know, we have hybrid flash, we do dedupe. I think delete's as good as dedupe, maybe better. But the important thing now is that's sort of table stakes. Now what you've got to start to understand is, what do I have? I can't continue to just add more without knowing what it is, because it's like moving from house to house, you know, taking up you know, every box without ever opening it and moving again. Eventually you won't be able to find a house big enough, or it'll just be too expensive. So you really need to get a handle on your unstructured data. You really need to have a way to visualize it and clean it up, and you really do need to understand who's interacting with your data. It's important to the and not just because I'm selling this product, I think you need to do it even if you do it with someone else. It's important to your company for both efficiency and for protection.
Well, that's great. I think that's a good summary and leaves us in a good spot for the podcast today. I want to thank you for joining and keep us updated, and we'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. It was really fun.
I'd like to thank Paula again for joining us on the Storage Review podcast. Data Gravity is certainly doing things differently and has a really creative take on storage. It's different, it stands out, and I think it's something that a lot of users, especially those in regulated industries, as we've said, will find their take on visibility into data really compelling. I also want to thank Samsung for their support of the podcast today. Their SATA SSDs with VNAND, we use them in the lab all the time for caching and NAS testing. They're great little drives, so definitely check out Samsung's offerings. And we'll be back with another podcast soon. Thanks for listening.